All right, let's build a proper riser pool in Ableton Live 12, jungle style, old school DNB style, with groove pool magic. In this lesson, we're not just making a basic whoosh that goes up and disappears. We're making something that feels like it's being dragged backward into the drop. A little bit late, a little bit unstable, a little bit rewound. That's the vibe. Think tension, swagger, and movement that actually grooves with the drums instead of floating on top of them like a generic FX layer. Now, the big idea here is simple. Instead of relying only on pitch ramps or giant noise sweeps, we're going to use groove-based timing changes to create the pull. That means the riser will feel musical. It'll feel like part of the rhythm. And for jungle and old-school drum and bass, that's exactly what we want. So first, pick your source. You've got a few good options here. You could use a synth riser, like something in Wavetable, Analog, or Operator. A saw wave, a little detune, a low-pass filter, and a rising pitch envelope will get you a clean electronic build. Or you could go more old school and use a chopped break fragment. Grab a slice of an Amen break, a Think break, or any break loop you like, then reverse it or warp it into a rising texture that gives you instant jungle character. Or, best of all, layer them. A synth riser plus a reversed break plus a touch of noise can sound massive without getting too modern or too polished. That hybrid approach is usually where the magic lies. Once you've got your sound, put it into a 4-bar loop. Keep it clean and aligned to the grid at first. Don't overcomplicate it yet. We want a clear phrase, not a messy sound design experiment. If it's MIDI, hold a note and automate the pitch upward over a few bars. If it's audio, warp it if needed and keep it rhythmically locked for now. The goal is to make it feel like a build phrase with direction. Now comes the important part, the groove pool. Open the groove pool in Ableton Live 12 and pull in a groove from the browser. Start with something that has a gentle swing or delayed feel. Nothing extreme. We want subtle drag, not chaos. Apply that groove to the clip and keep the timing amount fairly moderate, somewhere around 20-35% to start. Random should stay low at first, maybe 0-10%. If it's a MIDI clip, you can experiment with velocity too, but for now, timing is the main thing. Here's the trick. We're using groove in a way people don't always expect. Groove is usually for drums, right? But here, we're using it to make the riser feel like it leans back, like it's hesitating, like it getting sucked into the drop instead of just climbing upward in a straight line. That's the riser pull feeling. Now duplicate that clip across your build section. For example, bars 1 and 2 can feel fairly tight, and then bars 3 and 4 can get looser, later, or more swung. You can do this by duplicating clips and giving them different groove amounts, or just making different versions with different timing feels. If you're a beginner, separate clips are easier to manage. A really useful mindset here is, think in phrases, not effects. This shouldn't feel like random automation. It should feel like a little musical sentence that's getting more and more uneasy as it approaches the drop. If your source is audio, check the warp settings too. For percussive break fragments, beats mode can be useful. For tonal or synth-based risers, Complex or Complex Pro can be better. Don't be afraid of a little imperfection here. In jungle and old school DNB, a slight tape wobble or warp artifact can actually help the character. Next, add auto filter. This is where the tension really starts to take shape. Set it to a low pass filter. Start fairly closed, especially if it's a tonal layer. Then automate the cutoff so it opens gradually over the build. You can even let it dip slightly right before the drop. That little pullback at the end is what makes the whole thing feel like it's being sucked in. That tiny hesitation creates so much more drama than a straight upward sweep. A simple automation shape works really well here. Open slowly at the start, then a bit faster in the middle, then right at the end. Let it stall or dip for a moment, and then hit the drop. That contrast is everything. Now add some depth with echo and reverb, but keep them controlled. For reverb, you want enough space to give the pull some size, but not so much that it smears the drop. A moderate decay is usually enough. Keep the wet signal fairly low, and high pass the reverb return if needed so the low end stays clean. For echo, try a sync setting like 1/8 or dotted quarter with modest feedback. Then automate the feedback up as the build progresses and cut it sharply at the drop. That rising echo tail can add a really nice sense of lift and instability. And here's a classic move. Use EQ after those effects. Cut the low end, tame any harsh top end, and keep the build focused. The whole point is tension, not mud. Now let's get into the actual pull feel. Automate the volume so it rises over time, but maybe give it a tiny dip on the last beat. Automate the filter so it opens, then slightly pulls back. Automate the delay feedback so it grows in the final bar. And if you want, automate pitch too, but don't make it too clean. A tiny late slowdown or a little pitch instability can make it feel more human. That combination gives you the sense that the riser is being dragged, not just rising. You can also add subtle rhythmic motion with gate or autopan. If you use autopan, keep the depth modest and try a synced rate like 1/8 or 1/16. If you set the phase to 0%, it behaves more like tremolo, which can create a pulsing motion that locks nicely with the drum groove. Just keep it subtle. We want movement, not a strobe effect. If you want even more jungle energy, try adding a breakbeat-driven layer underneath. A quiet reversed amen slice, a snare tail, a ghost kick, or a tiny drum fill can make the riser feel like it belongs in the rhythm section instead of floating outside it. And this is a big one. Match the riser's groove to the drum energy. If your drums are straight and the riser is wildly swung, the transition can feel disconnected, but if they share the same attitude, everything starts to click. A really strong arrangement for an 8-bar build could look like this. In the first two bars, keep it subtle. Dark filter, light groove, minimal effects. In bars 3 and 4, bring in more swing and start opening the filter. In bars 5 and 6, add break slices, snare rolls, or extra rhythmic layers. In bars 7 and 8, go hardest with the tension. More delay feedback, more filter movement, maybe a slight volume dip right before the drop, then cut everything cleanly into the downbeat. That last cut is important. Don't let the build just keep going forever. Leave space for the drop. The best tension often comes from contrast, not overload. If you want a heavier DNB version, quietly layer a res under the riser. Keep it filtered and subtle. Maybe use a little saturation. Maybe widen it slightly with utility, but don't let it steal the spotlight. It's just there to give the pull more weight. Another strong trick is to saturate the final moments of the build. A bit of saturator or drum bus can make the last second feel more aggressive and more present. Just keep it tasteful. If it starts sounding crispy in a bad way, pull it back. A cool old-school move is to make the last half bar feel unstable. You could add a little detune, increase groove randomness slightly, or throw in a reversed crash or a vinyl noise tail. That moment of instability right before the drop makes the drop land harder. And if you really want to level up, resample the build. Render the riser pull to audio, then chop it up like an edit. Reverse one piece, leave one piece dry, shift one piece slightly late, and suddenly you've got a much more custom transition. That's a very DNB way of working. Treat the FX like part of the arrangement, not just a layer sitting on top. Let's talk about a few common mistakes to avoid. First, don't use too much swing. If the groove is too extreme, the riser just feels late instead of intentionally pulled. Start subtle. Second, don't open the sound too early. If it's bright from the start, the tension is gone. Third, don't drown the whole thing in reverb. That'll blur the drop and make the drums weak. Fourth, don't leave unnecessary low frequencies in the riser. Cut the low end so it doesn't fight your kick and sub. And fifth, don't automate everything at once. For beginners, volume, filter, and delay are enough to get a strong result. Add more lanes later if needed. Here's a great beginner practice exercise. Make a 4-bar riser pull using a synth riser or a reversed break slice. Add auto filter and echo. Open the groove pool and apply a light swing. Duplicate the clip across the 4 bars. Then make the later bars feel a bit looser or more dragged. Automate the filter from dark to bright. Bring the echo feedback up in the last bar. Add a small volume dip on the final beat and cut the whole thing sharply at the drop. Then listen back and ask yourself one question. Does this feel like it's being pulled into the drop? If yes, you've got it. And if you want to get extra nerdy with it, try 3 versions of the same idea. Make one synthetic version, one break-based version, and one hybrid version. Compare them. You'll probably hear that the break-based and hybrid versions feel more authentic for jungle, while the synthetic one feels a bit more modern. All 3 are useful, though, and learning the difference is really valuable. So the main takeaway is this. In drum and bass, tension works best when it feels rhythmic. A riser that grooves with the drums will always feel more alive than a generic whoosh. Use groove to make the build lean back. Use filter movement to shape the energy. Use delay and reverb for depth. And keep the low end clean so the drop can hit hard. That's the riser pull masterclass. Now go into Ableton Live 12. Build a 4-bar transition and make it feel like the track is being sucked straight into the drop.